This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo with Kevin Barrett, where Kevin is on Mondays, Fridays, and occasionally substituting for me with my special guest today, Bob Bowman, who used to direct the Star Wars program and for both Democratic and Republican administrations. Bob, something that has puzzled me is how there can be internal criticism within the movement to, as it were, kind of blot out or not be willing to consider a kind of closed-mindedness to alternative explanations that might range from mini nukes to directed energy or to HARP or even solar energy to explain what happened, when this is the very same kind of closed-mindedness that we find or found from the American public in general that we had to overcome to even look at what happened in 9/11 by looking at the evidence. I mean, it seems to me if you're not willing to look at the evidence, you have no place in the 9/11 movement because it's all about looking at the evidence. And we have to overcome the closed-mindedness of the public and, you know, aided and abetted by the government and the mass media. And that's our whole task. So I can't understand why we would want to transport those closed-minded attitudes in internal to the 9/11 movement itself.
Well, that I agree with that. My point was that we can present alternative ways that it could have happened. We don't have to prove them. It's not our responsibility to prove how it happened.
Right.
All we have to do is show that so far we have not been told the truth.
Right.
And that by itself is enough to get us a new independent commission which can find out precisely how it happened and who did it.
Except, of course, if it's got anything to do with the government, it's going to be politically tainted, just as the reinvestigation of the death of John F. Kennedy was tainted and came basically to naught. I mean, it's got to be a truly independent investigation, maybe by an international group of scientists and experts, Bob. I don't think anything that you know, is contaminated by this government the way the 9/11 Commission investigation was tainted, even to the extent of putting a Bush inside insider in charge, Philip Zelikow, could possibly be expected to deal objectively with the scientific issues.
Well, that's why the legislation which I presented to Congress to set up an independent commission said that in addition to oversight by Congress, that there should be oversight by the 9/11 truth movement and by the families of victims.
Do you have a specific sense of how that would work? Meaning, I mean, there are a lot of views out here in the 9/11 truth movement, you know. My view might differ from Steve Jones' view, which might differ from, you know, Janice Matthews' view, which might differ from, you know, ABCD. We could go down the list. So, I mean, how does that 9/11 involvement work?
Well, I think we need to, it may be, you know, a cross-section of people, but, and each of them could see that the possibility that they raise is not ignored, but basically it's to make sure that we don't get another whitewash. That's why, you know, maybe getting the Jersey girls involved in the oversight.
I mean, it seems to me what happened to you politically was a political smear and a whitewash. I mean, you're simply interested in the truth, and a man with your impeccable credentials, Bob, who could possibly be better positioned to take on this issue of what actually happened on 9/11 than you? I cannot think of anyone better positioned than you.
Well, whoever it is, and of course, I was hoping to be able to take it on as a member of Congress.
Let me ask you this question, too. Actually, I've been very eager to have a conversation with you about this topic. We all know about the concept of full-spectrum dominance, where the United States is supposed to be taking control of space as well as air, land, and sea. I mean, this is very important. The neoconservatives are very big on it. They're very big on space-based weaponry. I cannot imagine, with all the attention and all the funding that has undoubtedly gone into the black budget to support space-based weaponry, how anyone could rule it out without actually considering seriously the possibility that some space-based form of weaponry might have been involved in 9/11 as an hypothesis. Can you think of any reasonable grounds for ruling it out as an hypothesis?
No, I can't. I personally don't think it's very likely because the for one thing, we don't have weapons in space that have been acknowledged, and therefore we have not had weapons in space that have been you know, tested, demonstrated. It's hard to.
Well, you don't actually know that. You're basing that upon your past experience and what has or has not been acknowledged. When I did a study of the death of Paul Wellstone, for example, I discovered that the hypothesis that explained all the data was that a directed energy weapon was used to overwhelm the electrical system, flip the solenoids on the props, and turn them onto no forward thrust, guaranteeing the plane would crash. I have lots of substantiating evidence for that, Bob. In the course of doing that research, which was principally conducted in 2003 and 2000, I discovered there are whole families of directed energy weapons. I discovered there's a whole professional society devoted to professional energy weapons, which in the year 2004 was having its 10th annual meeting in Hawaii that year.
Yeah, right, right.
So, I mean, you know, people who just rule this out because it defies the boundaries of their imagination or their limited knowledge and understanding here, to me, are just, it's inexcusable. You know, it's intellectually irresponsible. We have to face up to the full range of possibilities.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anything should be ruled out. I have had people ask me, did I think space weapons did it? And what I've said is, you know, I don't know. I would rather doubt it. It's possible they could have played some role, but I think because of what happened and what we have on videotape to those buildings, that the aircraft that hit them and weapons from space could not be the sole answer, in my judgment. There had to be, it seems to me, some terrestrial component, whether it's a mini nuke or whatever. I don't know.
Yes, yes, but you're not saying, you're saying it could be the case, and based upon your situation and odds, you think it's not likely to be the whole explanation, correct?
Right. Right.
And it's been how many years since you were actually directly involved in Star Wars research? 10 or 20?
I'm sorry?
How long has it been since you were involved in Star Wars research?
Well, I actually directed all that research until 78. So that's been, what, 28 years.
Right, right, right. And
however,
of course, a great deal can have happened in the 28 years since.
Yeah. I was intimately involved after that, throughout the 80s.
Yes. Let me ask you a question, Bob. You know, you know this Oklahoma City thing, this Mura building, which was, in my opinion, one of the most massive concrete reinforced structures I've ever seen in my life. Do you think in your wildest dreams of that kind of, you know, fertilizer bomb could have caused that massive destruction to that building?
I don't know that much about fertilizer bombs. It does seem unlikely.
Hey, we'll be right back with my special guest, Bob Bowman. This is Jim Kessler. The show is a dynamic duo. My special guest today, Bob Bowman, who has a Ph.D. in aeronautics and nuclear engineering from Caltech. Bob, I was actually born in Pasadena, so Caltech was right in my backyard.
Yeah.
He has been a candidate for President of the United States, most recently for the House of Representatives from a congressional district in Florida, and we're talking about the politics of 9/11 and Star Wars research in relation to 9/11. And Bob, I just have, you know, a couple questions I'd like to ask you about this.
Okay, first, you know, I got to say, you know, I'm going to have to run, so this is going to have to be my last segment. I do want to tell people about two websites,
please,
because we're not going to be able to answer all the questions.
Sure.
One is my campaign website, which has my position on every conceivable issue, including 9/11, the North American Union, all sorts of things. And that website is Bowman2008.com.
Excellent. And the other website you wanted to mention?
Yes, the other one is a website that I have had for many years, and it has articles I have written on Star Wars, on the first Gulf War, a lot of things that aren't directly connected with my campaign, and that is rmbowman.com.
Now, just so everybody knows, I mean, you had advised me before we went on the show that you might not be able to stay for the whole program, so I don't want anyone to draw the faulty inference that because we're asking, you know, or talking about these issues, that that has caused you any concern. I know you would prefer to stay and discuss these things further.
Yeah, I only intended to stay an hour, but it's been an hour and a half.
Well, I'm delighted that you have been able to stay longer, Bob. Let me ask you two questions. One is this. Isn't it the case that our knowledge of military technical developments tends to lag about 10 or 20 years behind the actual development of those weapons? The public knowledge tends to be delayed about 10 to 20 years behind the development of weapons.
Well, at one time that was the case. The development of weapons takes a lot longer now, and public knowledge tends to not lag as far behind, perhaps in years, but not in the development itself. I noticed that quite a bit. There are systems that have yet to be deployed that I was working on in the 1970s.
Yes, of course.
Whether
they might have been deployed is something you might not be abreast of today. I mean, just because you're no longer in the loop.
Well, but I have been only out of the loop for 10 to 15 years.
Right.
And I was in the loop for like 30, so I have an idea how far the loop has gotten.
Let me ask you the most general question. I mean, there's all this enthusiasm about the militarization of space. Bush has specifically disavowed a treaty into which the United States has entered against the militarization of space. How can we pursue a full-spectrum dominance if we don't have weapons that are space-based that we could deploy? What would be the point?
Well, certainly there is a desire on the part of neocons to weaponize space. First of all, militarization of space occurred long, long ago and cannot be undone.
By what do you mean? The use of satellites, spy satellites, and the like?
Right.
Or you're talking about actual weapons that can be deployed from space.
Military communications. So, militarization of space is one thing. Weaponization of space is quite another. And what I was about, with the assistance of the Joint Chiefs of Staff throughout the 1980s, was an attempt to prevent the weaponization of space.
Well, that was a very different attitude, though, that we find prevalent in this administration.
Well, it wasn't the administration at that time, because Reagan was all for weaponizing space. The crazies who were advising Reagan, by the way, are the same crazies that are pulling George W. Bush's strings.
Well, this is the problem, Bob. You've got a bunch of crazies in there who not only, pursue this project for the new American century, but want to weaponize space, and who knows how far they may have gone in doing so. I mean, when you have $2.3 trillion missing from the Pentagon budget, who knows where in God's name that may have gone.
Right, right. And that's true. It's these same crazies that are doing it now that were doing it then and wanting to weaponize space. And the Joint Chiefs at that time fighting them, saying, calling me in and saying, Bob, for God's sake, we can't say anything, we can't write anything, there's gag orders, you have to help us, you have to warn the Congress and the American people and stop this military lunacy.
Mind you, I have read documents that were at least 20 years old that were very enthusiastic about full-spectrum dominance, about putting weapons in space and denying any other country the right to put their own weapons in space so we can control the entire globe from space. Very enthusiastic documents, Bob, that came from official military sources. I've read them.
Absolutely, and I have too, and I some years ago, I was involved with the people who were putting those out, and some of it had reality in the black programs because I used to be involved in the black programs. Some of it was is sort of pie in the sky, wishful thinking, pipe dreams. It's a combination of reality and smoke and mirrors.
The reason I brought up the mirror building in Oklahoma City, Bob, is that for all we know, that could have been a proof of concept exercise using a space-based weapon to destroy the building, using the fertilizer bomb as a subterfuge. Even the most elementary physics, you know, you reveal that most energy follows the path of least resistance. That was outside this massive building. The vast majority of that energy would have dispersed outward into space. There was nothing surrounding the most of that fertilizer bomb on most of its periphery. I mean, most of that energy would have gone outward away from the building, not inward into the building. And that was a massive structure.
Yeah, well, I think there is an... It's also a possibility that there were preset explosives in that building as well.
Well, Bob, listen, I know you got to take care of other matters. I just want to thank you so much for coming on, and I wish you well in future campaigns, and I consider you to be a great patriot and a stand-up guy on behalf of 9/11 Truth, and I'm very appreciative for you coming on the show.
Thanks, Jim. We'll see ya.
This is Jim Fetcher, your host on the Dynamic Duo. Stand by.